in the 21st century. I'm Benjamin, your host of the show. I'm going to go fill up my coffee cup. And I'll be right back after this. I hope. Come on, computer.
Ever since the world ended, I don't go out as much. People that I once befriended just don't bother to stay in touch. Things that used to seem so splendid don't really matter today. It's just as well the world ended. It wasn't working anyway. Ever since the world ended, there's no more Bible Belt. Remember how we all pretended, going round lying about the way we felt. Every rule has been amended. There's no one keeping score. It's just as well the world ended. We couldn't have taken much more. Since the world ended, there's no more black or white. Ever since we all got blended, there's no more reason to fuss and fight. Dogmas that we once defended no longer seem worthwhile. Ever since the world ended, I faced the future. with a smile.
All right, 5 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock in the morning, right here on Community Radio in the 21st century, smacking my computer around, telling it to do what I tell it to do when I press the buttons on it. But at the same time, what are you gonna? I mean, I'm not. You know, there's a new movie out with Joaquin Phoenix. It's called Her, where he essentially falls in love with the operating system on his computer. And there's an awkward scene where he tells his ex-wife that he's dating. She's like, oh, who are you dating? He's like, oh, Samantha. It's like, what does Samantha do? Oh, well, she's an OS. You're dating your computer? And it's not what you think it is. It's a real kind of, they have a kind of a spiritual relationship. They talk a lot. Mm. Not a sexual one. It's not a physical. It's limited. We're kind of right there, though. We truly are. All right. So 6 minutes after the hour of one, it is true. This is the Paragon Radio program. I am Benjamin, your host of the show. And if you didn't know, KKFI, I kind of need some of your money. That's pretty much true. We need some of your cash. We don't need all of your money. No, we don't need all of it. Though, if you had a lot of it to give, that would be great. Really make things a lot easier for the whole pledge drive thing. But if you would, I know it's kind of asking a lot. If you would, please donate some of your money to KKFI. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be $500. But if you could do $100, that'd be great. If you could do $50, that would be awesome as well. $90 will get you the official KKFI collector's t-shirt. What's local and vocal and heard all over? KKFI is. That is what it is. You can actually, you can check out KKFI.org and you can make a secure online pledge right now, 24 hours a day at KKFI.org. Get out your debit card. Get out your bank card, get out your credit card, get out whatever card's got 16 numbers that you can insert into the field and support community radio in the 21st century. Because honestly, right now, where else? I mean, I'd like to think that this program is unique. I'd like to think that KKFI is unique. I'd like to think that this is unlike any other radio in Kansas City. And I think that's probably true. And if you like some of the information that you hear on this program, if you like some of the alternative, just the different perspectives you hear on any of the programs on KKFI, I mean, your support is literally what keeps this radio station going. If it is not you, then it is nobody else. There is no one else that can keep KKFI on the air except for you. And that's why I implore you to go to KKFI.org sometime, either today, tomorrow, this week, and pledge some of your money to community radio in the 21st century. It does not have to be all of your money. I think that's super important to understand. You don't have to empty out your bank account to help keep KKFI on the air. But literally, $50, $75, $100, that would do it. $25, if that's what you can do, do that. But you have to do something. And we all have to do our part to keep this thing alive. And it's alive right now. It's here right now. When I think about how amazing it is for me to know that I can come down here and talk with you and how important that is, I believe, to keep a conversation going that's a little bit different than the other one. I mean, there is so much toxicity within the political, reality of this country. So much polarization. so much confusion, so much anger and hatred, literally where you have so much of what is discoursed on radio, what is called discourse on radio, is truly just an attempt to get you, the listener, to be hateful and bigoted towards people that you don't agree with. I know that sounds very simplistic, but that is essentially what most of the AM radio garbage is all about, is to get you to the point where when you find somebody who has a different opinion than the one that you've been given by the spokes freak on the box, on the radio, when you come across an opinion that is different than your own, you are supposed to hate and attack that person. You're not supposed to listen and learn from that person, which should be a goal. There's an opportunity here. So please, please, I implore you, I beg of you, because we literally cannot do this without you. And if you think that I'm not talking about you, I'm precisely talking about you. And it doesn't take much, just a little bit. And that's the key here. Not one person can keep KKFI on the air. It takes thousands and thousands of people. Do you want to be part of that group? I should say you should. You should absolutely want to be part of that group. And the best way that you can support community radio right now is getting on your computer and going to kkfi.org and making a secure online pledge. And if you want to call in your pledge, you can do so as well. I'll make Jesse run into the other room and answer the phone. 1-888-931-0901. 1-888-931-0901. But truly the best thing to do would be to go to kkfi.org and make a pledge. He's over there with pink slips. He's ready to go. 1-888-931-0901. Because it truly is important. I mean, media truly is important. Just think about the way that radio has metamorphosized into this just beige corporate matter. Just this completely meaningless, jingle-filled, mindless cacophony of BS. I mean, I can't think of the last time I felt any pleasure listening to corporate radio. I can't remember that. Been a long time. Seems like it's been since, you know, MTV played commercials or something like that, or commercials, videos. It's been that long since I've gained any pleasure whatsoever from listening to commercial radio. And you know what it is. I mean, it's just, once you get outside of the commercial world, you know, because you can do that. You can live outside of the commercial world. I mean, I don't have a TV in my home, so I don't have a constant barrage of marketing and commercialism being visually piped into my home. I almost never listen to commercial radio. And even when I surf the internet, I have some search engine program called Adblocker Plus that causes all the ads to go away. I mean, maybe sometimes on a website, there'll be like one ad, but none of those pop-ups, none of those flashing ads, and none of those people just walking onto your screen going, "Hey, do you want to refinance your mortgage today? Would you like a bigger penis? I can help. How about let's, you know, kill two birds with one stone there, Bubba?"
That actually sounds like a meaningful app.
Well, it's not an app, it's an advertisement. Now, if it was, it could be a meaningful app. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's just, you can live outside of that commercial world, and you kind of, you'll find yourself insulated. And then when you go to somebody else's house and they have their TV on with all the commercials going, and you're on somebody else's computer and you can see all the advertisements, or if you're listening to commercial radio, it's amazing how much of that is just that. It's just commercials. And the fact is that you can make a radio station It doesn't have all that. It just has content and people involved. It doesn't have a, you know, ulterior motive, because that's kind of what it comes down to. It's like, you know, it's like the pretty girl trying to get with the old rich guy. It's like nobody believes this is love. You know, it's there's an ulterior motive with, you know, anything corporate and commercial as far as media is concerned. And you can't blame them. They're just trying to make, I mean, what do corporations always want to do? What do corporations always want to make? As much money as they possibly can for their shareholders. We've all heard that before, right? It's okay that the children got poisoned by the chemicals because we're making money for shareholders. And capitalism will absolve us of all of our sins. That's okay, right? It's like this ulterior motive. It's like you listen to Glenn Beck or something like that, and he's like getting all serious, you know, telling you about how Woodrow Wilson is the reason why America is doomed, and that if we really try, if we slaughter thy neighbor of all of his socialist thoughts, that we can really save America. And you can hear him take his glasses off and choke back a tear.
And then next thing you know, he's trying to sell you LifeLock.
Absolutely.
Or the one I heard most recently, which was funny, is that apparently Duck Dynasty has their own line of firearms. And on the Glenn Beck show, he was saying, folks, if you act now, you can get your Duck Dynasty firearm in time for President's Day. Which I didn't know where he was going with that, but I'm just like, okay.
Like, I love it.
Yeah, and that's totally true. And I was clearly, you know, I guess you can get away with saying that. I didn't know what he was getting at. I guess he meant, like, you can get it so fast that if you order it now, it'll be here in time for President's Day.
No, you're supposed to, everyone knows you're supposed to buy your father a pistol on President's Day. Yeah, it's a constitutional thing. It's very old school. All right, so 17 minutes after the hour of one. If you'd like to call in and you'd like to engage, you'd like to regale us with stories of how important community radio is, you can do so. It's 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. If you are wasted from having drank 30 beers watching the Super Bowl, you can call in too and just give us a shout out. We've got the 7-second delay active. We'll be all good with that. No, but that's the ulterior motives of commercial radio. I mean, it's not just about giving you an opportunity to be, you know, informed about something or to hear people have some sort of discourse or something like that. It literally is, you know, they're trying to sell you, you know, Goldline or something like that, or LifeLock.
Gold, just straight up gold.
Just straight up gold. Yeah, that's what they want. They want to sell you, not real gold, just that gold paper stuff. Because we all know how important gold is. Everyone should hoard gold, right? I advocate it. All right, so, yeah, if you'd like to call in, it's 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. You can talk about anything we've really discussed tonight and maybe more. I mean, a lot of people turned on the TV tonight expecting to see a football game or a terror attack. And neither one happened. There was neither a football game nor a terror attack this evening on the TV. So people may be disappointed about that. I mean, sure, there were some great commercials, right?
I found out that Bruno Mars is actually a male.
You didn't know
that? I wasn't aware of that until towards the end of the performance.
Most guys named Bruno are going to be guys. But that's all good. I can understand your confusion.
Bruno Talia, yeah.
It's the octave he sings in. It's a high one, right?
And even at the Super Bowl, the people in the pit still hold up their phones. I don't know if you noticed that or not. They're at the Super Bowl. They're in the pit of the Super Bowl. And all these people were holding up their phones.
No, that's how you see a concert. You see it through, you know, like, your phone.
Bring your own light.
Is there a little, you know, cigarette lighter app that you get on your
phone? You can just, and it flickers up. Like when you move it uses the thing to know how you're, like, it's kind of cool. You can blow on it and it'll flicker like you blew it,
however that works. But when was the last time that, you know, 80,000 people were linked arm in arm listening to Winds of Change with their lighters out? You know, it's been a while.
Right.
It's been over 20 years, I would imagine.
or the cell phones. That's how you experience things. I went to see Bill Cosby the other night, and he stopped the show and said, get your phones out. He wanted us to record some stuff.
Oh, you wanted
to record?
Yeah,
the phones.
He encouraged the recording, yeah.
Wow.
It was actually pretty cool. It was a
touching thing. Were the Westboro people there? They said they were going to be there.
God, those people are every freaking way. I hate them so much.
No. I just wanted to know because they said they were going to. We don't need to talk about them. Everyone knows they're losers and nobody cares.
Right.
Did he talk about fatherhood?
that's his thing. I mean, his shtick. No, he encouraged people to record because he had met a young lady who works at one of the hotels that his people were staying at who's like on crutches and it's like she's overcomes a lot of challenges. And he was like, you need to go home and talk to your children. Because this girl, he actually had her up on stage and she was talking about like negotiating to get a job. Like, no, you let me do the job and I'll show you that I can do it. You know, that kind of thing. And then you got kids that are like, I don't think they're hiring me. They wouldn't hire me, so I'm not going in there. Or, you know what I mean? Just that whole, I put in some applications.
Sure.
And that's it. Like, nah, there's ways to get jobs. So, and I wanted to take issue with your statement. You said there was no terror attack. I was feeling bad for Bronco fans.
You think Bronco fans got terrorized?
I think they felt like they were.
You're such a nice guy, Mike. I thought you like Kansas City Chiefs football, right? Are you supposed to feel sympathy for the enemy?
I felt bad at the end. I was like, wow, this just – I was like, somebody's getting paid for this. It was bad.
Oh, you think it was like everybody but Peyton on the team had taken
right.
How much do you think the bookies made off that first – the very first play?
Oh, yeah.
Snapper.
I didn't even see that one.
The odds for a safety being the first, you know, play, a score being the first play, and that first play being a safety, you know, was 50-1.
Right.
That center called his uncle in North Dakota and was like, put the farm on a safety first play of the game. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? He's like, just do it. Trust me.
Right. It certainly felt that way.
He gave himself a bonus.
It's like, wow. That was crazy. Yeah, and I mean, I know it's not a football show, but wow.
Not a football show.
Either that or the weed is really good. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Is the weed better in Denver or Seattle? And one would think after that Super Bowl performance that clearly Denver is winning the battle of the THC content.
Right. I would think it shows that Denver,
or at least Denver,
being the first state to have it legal, was already high.
Yeah, exactly.
And they showed up to play.
Maybe Denver should try next Super Bowl to just take one. Maybe they all took two. Or they just tried to take one.
Well, I was surprised. And I heard like all these people talking about Super Bowl and stuff coming up, but I didn't hear anybody say like this was the Weed Bowl. I mean,
they were talking about it.
It was the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Apparently in Denver there were people that were so baked. Or whatever terminology you want to use.
They were losing.
That they thought that Denver was playing the Eagles.
I'm sure that's true. All right, 23 minutes after the hour one. If you want to enjoin the conversation, we could talk about how your being a fan of Woody Allen's movies makes you a fan of pedophilia.
That was... so weird when I heard you talking about that. I was talking when I was getting my coffee with the guy, and wow.
But that's not new news. That's old news.
Well, I guess it's kind of like the Snowden thing. You knew it was happening, but you didn't have it starkly put before you like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just like, okay, when he left his wife with his 20-year-old, wasn't she 20, 21?
Like 19, yeah.
Yeah, when that happened, you knew that didn't just, like, he didn't just wake up one morning and go, like, you know, not only am I going to leave my wife for a 19-year-old girl, that's happened before, but it's your daughter that you've had in your care for the last 12 years or so. You know that something happened before today. I just didn't want to think about it, and maybe that's bad on me because I have not wanted to see any Woody, what's his name?
Allen
movies for
and neither is his
all that time frame. You know, I haven't seen, like, I've actively chosen, I'm not going to see that just because I know who he is, right? So I just didn't, but I wasn't like standing on chairs saying this guy's a creep. And maybe I should have been, because now I feel like I should have been. Like, you shouldn't, no one should have given him their patronage.
Really?
Yeah, I think a guy who does that to a 7-year-old girl, maybe we don't want to support, even in other things.
But isn't he a really good director? He's a funny man.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Pianist, I never had any desire to go see that. I mean, that's
no, I don't watch guy. Woody. I mean, I don't watch Woody Allen movies.
Well,
myself.
That one was Polanski, right?
Right.
You know,
Woody Allen is not, you know, Roman Polanski. You know, again, not a director. I'm not a big film buff or anything like
that. I know
that
they're out there. I mean, I know these freaks are out there all over the place.
It seems like more and more.
My favorite director is Ben Affleck, I'm going to have to say. He's my favorite.
Are you serious? You're joking.
No, I'm totally joking.
Thank you. Not putting him in the class with Woody Allen as it relates to that, as far as we know.
No, Ben Affleck was on the other end of the whole, you know, molestation, pedophilia thing. But that's, you know, that's in his past now, you know?
I would say Argo's better than just about every Woody Allen movie.
I'm not, you know, I don't think I've seen a lot of Woody Allen movies.
I happened to see Argo this week because it just was on cable and I was like, oh, okay, let it stay. And it wasn't.
Maybe it's because I had low expectations.
It wasn't terrible.
I thought it was good.
What's your middle name? What day were you born?
Right.
What street do you live on? He's an American spy. Kill him.
Right. That scene, I was like, this isn't every spy thing.
No, it was okay. You know, I thought that movie was all right. I liked the John Goodman, Alan Arkin, like, angle, where they even had,
right,
like,
where they, like, were actually on the set of a movie or whatever. Well, and I like the guards sitting there as they're getting on the plane, and they're like, ooh. They're, like, reenacting this movie because it looked kind of like, to get on the plane, they had to, like, act like they were really making the movie, and the guy, to me, he kind of looked like C-3PO at the end of, the Ewoks one, where he tells them the whole story of, and then there was the good guys come, and then psh, 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 and he's explaining it to these Iranians who have no idea what he's saying, other than there's pictures of rockets, and they're like, oh, okay, cool, you guys are good. And
but see, that's the point, though. If you make movies that are of critical acclaim, you know, then you can rape children. But if you just make, you know,
that's the unfortunate.
Yeah. So
reality.
If you make critically acclaimed movies, then it's, oh, you've got a green light to go ahead and rape.
It's just like if you can score a touchdown on a consistent basis or block one on a consistent basis or whatever, you know, you can slap your wife around, you can, you know, do whatever, and people will be like, yeah.
I mean, look at it. He's a football player.
Nobody's perfect.
Right, right.
It's not actually true, though. There's no justification for any of that type of behavior. And, of course, you know, it's denied by Woody. And you know, hey, I'm not a court of anything other than public opinion. And I think that once that accusation gets put out there, that's a heavy one.
Right.
You know, that's a big deal. You can't really, there's no recovery from that. But then again, it's just it's one of those things about is it America? Is it the world where there's just so much sex with children? Because I know that it's not, you know, this is not something unique to America.
It's the world. It's the human nature. I mean, I think.
Is it human nature?
India.
Well,
they love it in India.
Here's what it is. It's not human nature. It's trying to be as dispassionate as possible here, right? But it's the path of least resistance, right? Everywhere around the world, and Bill Cosby kind of talked about this a little bit, it's like you don't get a, you know, talking about fatherhood, yeah, you don't get a sit down and go, son, here's how you handle these urges that you're going to have, like a dream suddenly, and you're going to want to do things and think things, and no one ever has that conversation. So people are left to find their own way. You're in this great big world, so yes, it is worldwide, and whatever avenues there are that allow you to act on those urges, I think people do it. So it's everywhere. It's not like, oh, those crazy Hollywood creeps, there's somebody right now doing, in this city, right, doing despicable things.
That creeps me out.
But if people
really have that little self-control, I mean, I can't. It's something I can't even grasp. But
it's not everyone has that. There are people who have self-control. There are people who say.
Having
the thought is one thing.
But no, it's not an issue. It's not like people that don't rape children have self-control. I mean, you know, Jesse, you have no self-control. You smoke like two packs of cigarettes a day. You do all kinds. I seen you drink a 2 liter of Coke in 15 minutes, you know? You
have
no
self-control.
But you don't rape children. You clearly have no self-control whatsoever.
Well, it was never something I took an interest in.
Right, some self-control. You know what I mean?
But that's not an issue of self-control.
Well, but it is, because even you can say it's levels, right? Because you can say he doesn't have any self-control, and I'm like, I haven't seen you in years. I'm just going to start just jumping right on it.
I don't have self-control.
But you do have enough self-control, I think, to not like go like, ooh, cigarettes. I'm taking those. And just snatch them as you walk down the aisle. There are levels of self-control that you have, right? And so there are people who have...
They don't put them out anymore.
There are even people who like children, whatever, right? But they have to get by on... And this has been going on forever.
That's the big confusion part for me, is I don't get it. And maybe it's because I feel like I'm semi-normal, but...
Right.
Like, I just don't understand that thought.
Right.
I mean, it'd be one thing to have to resist the urge, but to me, like, having the urge, it's like, and then you can have a gun, too?
I'm with you, because you don't know, like, if you don't experience it, it's like when people talk about gay marriage or whatever. For me, it's like, okay, that doesn't affect you, so don't let it affect you. If you're not gay and you're not like wanting that, then why is that bothering you? And it's the same thing with this. And like, okay, it bothers me if you have pedophilia in urges, right? Because that is not acceptable, because that doesn't allow for honest self, you know, like that you can't have
How would you handle that if one of your really close friends is like, yo, I haven't been able to tell anybody this, you're the only one I've told, but when I see little kids, I want to do weird stuff to them.
I would help them get counseling or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't, like, turn my back on them. You know, I would definitely keep my kids away from them. But I would try to help them get some help, because there is something there, and you got to have some self-control over it.
Is it bad chromosomes? Is it dietary? I mean, what happened?
Is it dietary? Yeah, too much red number 40, and right. You want to go out and rape children. No, it's, I think, you know, and I'm not a specialist, neither one of you guys are either,
right.
But I think what I understand here is this, so the people out there know, I think what I understand here is this, is that a lot of people that do that had that done to them when they were a kid.
There's that.
And then the other side of that, I'm not saying that's the Woody Allen thing. Let's say Woody Allen did do what is said that he did, you know, levied by his ex-adoptive daughter or whatever. If he did do that, and Woody Allen, you know, because he's a Hollywood guy, might be the other reason people do this. Power.
Right.
Power perverts people. I mean, people like us, regular folks that work for their money, you know, that are hungry, that, you know, need to have money in their pockets. You know, think about that. Think about bills. Think about all that stuff. We're focused on that. People that get money, you know, we get enough, and then you're just like, you start focusing on other ways to exercise, you know, your need to consume stuff and get stuff, and it becomes, you know, real perverted. Money can really do that to you. It can really turn you into... You know, when everything else is available, you just start getting more specialized, you know, in your tastes. Where, you know, some guys, you know, a bottle of Napa Valley Cabernet from last year is just fine. You know, a guy gets money, and all of a sudden he's got to drink wine that's 50 years old only.
Right.
You know, because he can. And it's just, yeah, sure, I used to have sex, you know, with, you know, people who were adults. But then I got all this money, and now, you know, that's just not doing it for me anymore. And I'm not trying to say that money does that to everyone, but money has this ability to really make people do bizarre stuff. And that's not just the people that are trying to get money doing whatever it takes to get it, but it's people that have money start to get these really kind of and this is something historical.
Well, and
this
like
has
you
been
said,
going
the power
on
issue.
For thousands and thousands right. of years, where people with money or I shouldn't say people, I should really say men, because I don't think a lot of women are out there raping children.
They're out there.
Not a lot of them.
It's a different thing. But it ain't always money because I've been very open about my experiences and you know I had relations with a woman, an ongoing relationship from the time I was like kindergarten, right? And there wasn't
an adult.
She didn't have money. You know, she was that was truly a lack of self-control, I think, or I don't know what that was exactly, but it was a thing, and
there's something contributing factors. But
so
there's
I think
something
you're right
about
with
it.
The power thing.
Power thing is true, and it's like the power thing, that lording of power doesn't work the same way when it's a woman doing that to a man, this or a boy. I mean, I'm not trying to speak directly to
right.
your situation.
Right.
There is something to that, but it's like it doesn't have the same, you know, victimization. Not saying that people aren't victimized in that situation.
I just would say,
culturally speaking,
it's going to be more men because men have always, in every freaking culture practically, right, for the last few thousand years anyway, have been the ones in power and control who have that option. You know what I mean? A guy can, at some point it became okay for a guy in a lot of different cultures, including this one, right, to say, like, this is my area. You don't worry about what the hell I'm doing in here. If it's my kids, if it's my wife, if it's my dog, you stay the hell out.
Oh, I see.
And
like
I can
old
do what
Appalachia.
I want to do in here. And then now I've got power over this domain. And that's when you get that freaky deaky stuff.
Right.
That comes down, you know, out of the way, like, you know, I think, because people kind of, if you have that power over someone, like you said, and I think that is a big part of it, is the power aspect, is like, it becomes, your imagination becomes inflamed. What else, what other weird crap can I do that I can just do because I can't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, right, exactly.
I mean, that's how, because people who start out, and I love the way you saw, like, with the exception of money, I love the way that you said, like, if you exchange that for power, like you said at first, like, because I think of, like, revolutionaries, right, who come from nowhere and the bottom of the rungs of society, and it's like, we must band together and fight, blah, 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 and then, like, now they're in charge for 40 years, and they've got 14 wives and billions of dollars socked away because that power just inflamed their imaginations. What more can you take? I bet you could walk over and take that guy, your best friend's kid, because he wouldn't do anything about it because you're the freaking king. Or
more so you get to the point where, you know, you feel like you're the only one that understands and it's just you, and you
right.
give yourself a, you know, a specialty complex or something like that.
Right.
You know, but I mean, it's just like within, you know, political power. I mean, just the level of perversion within Congress.
Right.
I mean, that we keep hearing stories about drugs and sex and, I mean, you know, all kinds of sex. You get a sense that,
what was the guy from Minnesota a few years ago with the bathroom stalls at the truck stops?
The white stance.
No, that was Utah.
Or Utah,
yeah. Yeah, no.
Is he a congressman from Utah?
Yeah, Larry Craig.
Okay,
yeah,
for some reason I was thinking he was up north.
Yeah, no, Utah.
Yeah, I thought he was Minnesota, too.
No, no. Because you have to even take into consideration, Utah
right.
is like...
Anti-Oliver.
Well,
okay, but
yeah.
the incident happened in like Wisconsin or Minnesota or something
yeah,
like
maybe
that,
so.
Right?
I don't yeah. know. He was in an airport, right?
You don't do that in Utah bathrooms.
Yeah. With a wide stance. But no, I mean, probably so. The degree in which you are homophobic, exactly. I'm just looking. I'm tapping for toilet teepee.
Can you spare a square?
But you realize that it's you know the degree in which you are homophobic. It's not a spectrum thing. It's more like a circle, and you can go full circle all the way to the reach around. You know, to the point where your homophobia reaches around, to the point where it's really just you know, you're bi curious.
Desire, yeah. Yeah.
That you're looking for that.
I hate
it seems like that it's it, the extremes are at, you know, the both ends of the spectrum. It seems like the most you hear about is like the super, super poor, you know, folks up in Appalachia that's like, well, I don't own this shack or that stove or my car, but I own these kids.
Right.
And then it seems to be the people in power. But, I mean, I don't think that that's it either. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of middle-class, suburban,
weirdo families out there. Well, I think that's where collectively our desire
middle-class suburban sodomites?
Right.
Really?
I think what, well, see, and I think what happens there is our collective desire to not be that type of person.
You're more likely to find those people
like,
in
yeah,
Roman?
Yeah, that's those poor folks or those really rich people. Really? But normal people like us, we don't do that stuff like that. Hey, see you later, buddy. And then the Are guy's you? Having a barbecue, but he's got three girls chained to the to the freaking basement, right?
That was an inner city, bro.
Right, but he was a regular guy. He wasn't, I mean, well, he wasn't super duper poor. You know what I mean? He wasn't.
Yeah, not right.
You know, like the, it wasn't a shack in the hills. You know, he was.
Yeah, it was in Ohio, right?
Right. I mean, I don't remember it being like, this was the part of the neighborhood where you just wouldn't even.
No, it was the hood.
It was the hood, but it wasn't. Yeah. Like, people, like, make sure you lock your door and run to the house before they... You know how people get that, like, Cabrini-Green kind of levels of
you
the
mean
hood.
White people?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that is ultimately...
I think that neighborhood, that neighborhood, I believe, would have made white people uncomfortable.
Right.
But the real question is, are you more likely to find a middle-class suburban sodomite in Roland Park or Leawood?
I would say the former.
You might think the latter, though.
I never can tell what that means, former and latter.
I'm going with Leawood. He's going with Roland
right,
Park.
Right. Now, wow. I'm going to say Leawood.
I think there's more old-time values in, you know, in Roland Park.
So what is that? In which direction is that going?
Towards the negative side of the spectrum.
Yeah, you know what? Roland Park is an older community, so you might have, like, history, whereas the people in Leawood are like, I'll never let that happen in my house.
I came here to get away from that.
Right. Painting Johnson County with a very dark brush.
A very dark brush. Dark, dark brush. And it's good that we can find humor in pederasty.
It's like MASH, man. You have to laugh to keep from crying, to keep from, like, screaming. You know what I mean? Because that's totally ridiculous that kind of thing could
continue. Yeah, it's not
funny.
I remember being in school and, you know, a lot of the girls that I knew had been, you know, had something done to them. Had either been, you know, taken advantage of by a peer, or something had happened to them by an adult, you know. And there was kind of that awkward time where, you know, you're blossoming sexually and you're starting to share information with girls. I mean, I look back on, you know, I'm just surprised. I mean, all these girls had something done to them at some point. And, you know, it made some of them real freaks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what happens, is they turn real freaky.
Right. And it, you know, the stories that I have heard from talking with people, and that's why I am open about my experience.
God, I hope my wife's not listening right now.
Right.
And all these girls I went to school with, baby, it was freaky. There was some freaky girls.
But you rose above all that.
Yeah, we're having a high school reunion tonight, man. You can't come, baby.
But that's just half of them.
The other half are shut down. Yeah, the nasty girls, man, they're just dancing, so they can't come.
They said, ain't nobody got time to get off work for that.
Yeah. But it truly is scary. But, I mean, you know, people are damaged everywhere. I mean, aren't we all turning into damaged goods? I mean, was there a time where we weren't damaged, though? I mean,
that's there isn't. You know, I was talking about...
Because 100 years ago, I mean, how common was it for kids? I mean, the story, there's a book and a movie out about the Irish women's homes in Ireland where they these ladies would get pregnant out of wedlock. They'd go live in these, you know, nun-run, you know, religious government, Catholic, Irish government institutions. And essentially, they would just find places for these children to go live. I mean, like, one of the stories, there's a movie out about this as well. It's called Philomena or something along those lines. I've not seen it, but it's very compelling where this lady, you know, she worked and lived in one of these Irish houses. There's a name for them, and I could probably find that.
They're like
a
women's orphanage kind of thing.
A women's orphanage for women who are orphaned by society, these are adult women who got pregnant out of marriage.
Oh, okay.
Conservative society does not want to see or deal with that. This is the 60s, 70s in Ireland. And they, you know, this one lady, I mean, she literally comes home one day from work and they're like, well, there's your son. He's living in the back of that car. Her son was 3 years old or 4 years old at this point. You know, she'd spend every day with him. He's, you know, 3 or 4 years old. And just, you know, ship him off somewhere.
They just took her.
Yeah. Just separate him at that age and just kind of, yeah, that's the way it is. Kid's going to be better off without you because you're a whore, you know, that kind of thing. Right. And just that mentality or the way children were treated for so long. And apparently, I mean, we're still talking about how children are abused, but how there used to be much more, you know, acceptance of the abuse that took place, you know, where, you know, a child would get beat.
Right.
A child would be, you know, I mean, it was a common thing for just like, well, you know, we had 15 kids and that was like five too many. So we're going to, you know, trim the family down by sending some of them to the orphanage.
Well, and that stuff was happening here, too, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't know if you remember I can't remember what the name of the movie was, but it was based on like some guy in New York who had gone through the thing. It was like the four guys and one of them, like they go back. It's like a Kevin Bacon and he's in everything, right? But back. I Brad Pitt maybe. I don't remember who else.
Brad Pitt's in that.
But two of the kids of these four kids who were like buddies.
Kevin Bacon's the
sleepers. Yeah, where they ended up doing something, stealing a hot dog cart to get sent off to reform school and get brutalized by Kevin Bacon, and they go back and kill. To end up in jail, they accidentally killed the guy, right?
They randomly find Kevin Bacon, who's the former guard from this.
Right,
you know,
who had raised him as kids in this prison, and they kill him, and then one of them acts as the... It's a great movie, but the point being, it happened here. I just heard a story, like, within the last 3 months about a guy in Florida who has broke the lid open on the reform school type situation that they had on up into the 70s,
right?
Where they were killing kids and burying them. Like, it was known within that institution,
right.
You know, we check these kids out. I mean, and they kept getting money or whatever, you know, for it or what, you know. And it's like amazing how these little enclaves of wickedness exist.
Well, you know,
and that's why I was talking about the least resistance of those urges and whatnot, because the types of people who want that kind of stuff, they can find their way into those types of things, you know what I mean? Whether it be scouting or you know, daycare or prison, you know what I mean? Reform school, you know, you find your way to those places, but then within those organizations and within society at large, I mean, you got that power dynamic that we tend to let it just be taken care of. Like, okay, you're here to take care of the kids. Okay, fine. And then we walk off and we don't look back until 20 years later and find out that, damn, man, you've been stacking up bodies in the basement? Or, like, out, you know what I mean? Like, we should have seen it if as a society, but we were content to just, like you say, literally, like, as a society, to say we got too many of these damn kids and we'll take a third of them if they end up in detentions and foster care and all of this kind of stuff. And you know that kind of stuff's going on, you don't do anything about it because, I don't know, you just choose not to think about it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, as you know, Benjamin, I am from a very small town in, speaking of rape, Pennsylvania, which, as you know, speaking of rape, we're going to get 6 more weeks of winter, something we haven't talked about today. But so my you know, I my grandma, she's a real right-on woman, and I had a lot of good conversations with her because we're from a real small town where everybody knows each other, and it's only like 600 people. And I found out down the road this girl that I had always gone to high school with, she'd been raped by her dad when she was like 5 or 6, but he happened to be our bus driver. My grandma told me that long after I had graduated high school. And we started talking about it. She would tell me, she'd be like, oh, yeah, this happened back in the day, and this happened back. My grandma knew about all this because she worked at the diner, and it was a small town. She knew everybody. And I remember I said to her, I was a lot younger, I was like, Grandma, you know this, and all your bingo buddies seem to know this. And, like, how is this guy still driving the bus? Or how is that guy still the pizza guy at Joey's or whatever? You know, you'd ask this. And she said that, you know, back in those days, she just flat out said that a lot of stuff that was going on was the man of the house, the father figure. And back in the old days, if mom walked in or happened to know that something was going on,
she was at a loss.
Mom got smacked around until, you know, she was not going to say anything. So all the mothers of the house, what my grandma was telling me, like around town when this weird situation here and this weird situation here, all the moms of the house knew about it. But they were so threatened by the father figure in the house, the man of the house, who would... I mean, you think about that now, it's probably why more stories are going out. I don't think it's more of a... I mean, maybe it is. The world's more messed up now, but I don't know if it's more of a thing now as much as, like, back in the old days of America, it was more hush-hush.
Right, there's more
light. You know how it is.
Were you guys talking and joking about
People's
stuff
Twitter.
Happening more because of Twitter? Yeah. No, it's not. It's people
you find
tell
out
now.
About... Yeah, sinkholes aren't increasing.
Yeah.
It's just people are tweeting about them now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's always been sinkholes.
Right, but nobody like runs around for the next 10 years going, you know what happened to me one time? It was a big a hole popped up in my yard.
Yeah, hashtag
it just,
sinkhole.
It becomes something way back in the memory that if we sit around talking about it, then everybody's got a story. But now, like you said, everybody's Twitter or Tweeter or whatever, putting it out there. We need a new service that's easier to say. Because I don't know the norm. Like, you tweet it out, but it's Twitter. But you're not a twit.
You're a twatter. Like,
right. See, that's what I'm saying. That's too dangerous. You could say it could go so many
I see.
Bad ways. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Am I allowed to say twatter? Because I won't say it.
Well, let's check the censors real quick. We'll see what they say. Put that out over the air.
But I think you're absolutely right, Jesse. I think that's a big part of it, too. Because, like, I've heard stories over the years and talking with people in counseling and whatnot that... Like, I heard of a story once of someone who had gone through this situation with their father, had, because it's a dynamic is that this stuff continues into adulthood, right? So that she had gotten married and, but was still having
a relationship
with her father on the side or, you know, just because that's, like... What we think of as weird is not weird if you grew up
if it's
with
normalized.
That. Like,
sure,
if you've been doing something, like I said, I had a relationship with it at 5 years old. By the time I was 10, it was like, it wasn't like, oh, that's weird. It was just a normal thing, you know, until it became clear to me that, hey, this isn't normal. And then I was like, no.
Well, you ask your friends, like, you know. You
right.
Guys, you know.
It's like, so how are you and your grandma doing? It's like, you ever have a problem with your grandma? Which, yeah, I never had that conversation, but... Right. So, but anyway, this woman, her husband found out that this was going on. Kind of one of those, like, oh, my wife's cheating on me. Let's check it out, find out what's going on. And find out, whoa, it's your dad.
Got a PI.
Oh,
wait.
My God.
It's like Chinatown.
Okay, so.
It's like I hired
so
my fifth
you.
PI and nobody will tell me what's going on. I keep hiring PIs and nobody will tell me what's going on.
So you walk in or you find this out and you go like, you guys are weird. I'm out of here, right? No, you say, wait. I'm going to blow this whole thing wide open unless you give me your little sister. That's what happens in the real world. That's
really?
What this girl said, that the deal was made to keep it quiet and we'll just incorporate, which perhaps is terrible, but that girl was already in that situation with the father.
Wow.
So now you got this.
Don't they say that, like, guys look for girls like their moms and girls look for... guys like their dad.
Right.
If you figure that out, but you're willing to negotiate a bargain like that right away, I mean, you're just like her dad.
Exactly. That's my thing. It's like you had to have been that person.
You are that person.
And they maybe didn't bring it out or didn't sense it, but it had to be there. You know what I mean? It's like you just can't imagine having that reaction to that kind of thing. But that's because I'm assuming you guys are normal. You know what I mean? It's like,
nah, it's cool.
Right. I mean, but there was a time. But there was a time, even today, when that is exactly. But we can look at that and go like, ew, and we should. But there's whole swaths of Utah that's happening, irrespective of the law, regardless of the law. There. Well, what do you think is happening when these folks have 10 wives starting at 12?
And
talking about the Mormon subculture that still goes on out in the open, right? I mean, I've seen
Utah. You just go right down the road here.
Probably. I mean,
A big glass structure?
Oh. Right, I'll take them at the word that officially it's not the Mormon Church. It's the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
No, it's the Community of Christ.
I will accept that is not their official deal, but culturally speaking, there are places in this country that have CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, that have congressmen, that have freedom and all of this jazz. But you go into those towns and, you know, they're still, like, what was his name, that Jeffords dude?
Yeah, Jeff Jeffords.
That could go from town to town and be okay. Like,
I mean, homie had an inbred name. His name was Jeff Jeffords.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? His name was inbred. What do you think his family looked like?
Well, you know, and I'll turn it up, too. Another little local story, and I'm sure you fellas have talked about this, but I just read it.
Oh, the IHOP story?
Yeah, the IHOP story. And that guy,
the wife,
Travis Tyler Deacon,
Deaton.
Maybe it's Deaton Tyler was his Deaton. Name.
Yeah, he and was he, a and he kind of did one of these things where it turned out he was a homosexual, but during the time,
was he a homosexual?
Yeah, it came out in the end that he
Are
was.
Are we talking different than the wife?
The lady that killed herself.
They found her with the bag over her head, and she had committed. Well, it had turned out that I guess he had two of the IHOP people murder her, like, or one guy goes down to the police station and had admitted to it.
That was a story like 2 years ago.
But I just read there was just a story that just came out and I read it. It was like the whole backdrop of that. But he, they had this house in Grandview where they all lived and they were IHOPers. And I read about how they're all
they had a separate sex cult, and you know there would the neighbors would
encourage cuddling
once a week.
He made the men cuddle with each other.
No, but they would be like once a week. All these cars with out of town plates would show up, and it sounded like they were watching a football game over there. I mean, you could hear shouting and cheering, and they were just having these orgies.
No, and then they were saying that the guy Tyler Deaton or whatever, he was encouraging the males in the group to be more affectionate and not feel weird. Like, he encouraged like two men to hold hands or to cuddle. He would set up the sleeping arrangements where he would be like two guys in each twin bed, and he wanted them to cuddle. And it was
you guys are sleeping together. I'm sleeping with all the women.
And it was just twisted. And I'm just like, right here in Grandview. I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm just like, right here in Grandview.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, IHOP as an organization might not be a bad organization. I'm not going to pass judgment on IHOP because of Tyler Deaton.
Sure.
But what I will say is this, is that when you try to create a bunch of fanatics.
Well, it was an army. It's the army.
Right. If you are trying to recruit fanatics for anything, you're going to come up with a bunch of extremely perverted people. Because to be a fanatic of something means you are a little crazy. If you're a little crazy for Jesus, you got Jesus in your heart, God bless you. Maybe he wants you for a sunbeam. I don't know. But if you, but seriously, you know, when it comes down to it, you end up recruiting these lunatics from all over the world to come there. And you get some of these people who maybe have a little bit of the complex, right? Have a little David Koresh in them and think that they are God.
The one,
you know?
Yeah.
And they start saying, well, and, you know, because I'm pretty sure that's actually Satan.